Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, September the 4th, 2026, 9:426, 16 minutes past the hour here. Getting ready to go into Labor Day weekend, the official end of summer, as many people call it. Joined in studio this morning for another hour with by the Libertarian candidate for governor, Don Kissick. Also, Matt Morgan joins us in the studio this morning. Matt, I want to come to you because we've talked a lot about this governor's race. Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy, we've been asking you, who are you going to vote for governor? I believe this is the first time you've ever been able to vote for governor. What's the stance 60 or 59 days out, depending on who you talk to today?
Well, I mean, as it currently stands, I have been I have been considering voting for Mr. Kissick here.
Thank you.
I really do not like either Amy Acton nor Vivek Ramaswamy. Like, there was a good chance that I didn't have a chance to hear Mr. Kissick speak before this, but I do like the Libertarian Party, I think that just. There was a good chance that I was going to walk into the governor's, but I plan on voting for Alison Russo also. I plan on voting for Sherrod Brown. There are Democrats I plan on voting for. Amy Acton's not one of them. Maybe. I don't know. But there was a good chance I walk into the ballot and I left the governor's ballot blank.
But what
terrible choices.
And I do want to let the audience know the phone lines are open. If we have time, we'll get to the calls, but it is available. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What, you call them terrible choices. What are your problems with, as a first-time gubernatorial voter, with Vivek and Amy Acton?
My main problem has to be the lack of experience in politics. I was hoping Tim Ryan got into the race. I would have voted for Tim Ryan. I think, how are you going to go to the highest office in the state? And, I mean, Amy Acton at least, I guess, served in an administration. But, like, she has no, like, she's never been on a legislative body. She's obviously never held an executive position. I mean, I guess that's in the executive office, I suppose. But she's never been an executive. She's not... Same thing with Vivek. I mean, he went around with Charlie Kirk. He went around with Elon Musk. He was chummy with Trump. I don't like Trump. I don't trust Trump. I don't trust anybody who likes Trump. So.
Wow.
Well, no. Like voters.
How do you feel about Trump, Don? Let's go. Let's rip right into that.
You know, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when he was first elected 10 years ago that he would be the lesser of two evils between him and Hillary, but. And what I'm seeing right now, at least there were some, you know, guardrails around him at the time. He wasn't saying as many crazy things like he is today. And he was saying some crazy stuff. I'm going to try and censor myself because we're live on the air, but I think you know what phrase I want to use to describe him. But right now with his core crew, you know, Max Miller, Pam Bondi, Stephen Miller. Yeah, so we were talking about Max Miller earlier. Pam Bondi, I'm forgetting the name of his current. I shouldn't forget his current AG.
You know what?
I know. I hate when that happens.
He's new. You know what? Let's go to the call here.
Okay.
Oh, we lost the call. Caller, if that was you, call back in. 7403. What? Who?
Todd Blanch.
Todd Blanch. Yes. Thank you.
740-383-9944. Again. If you call in, hang on the line if we get you in, and we'll come to you. But if that was you, call back in. 740-383-9944. All right, Don, continue with Trump there.
I just, you know, when you look at the circle of people that are at the top of, you know, the food chain in the administration, there's no guardrails. He's surrounded himself with yes men. He has surrounded himself with people who are only interested in telling him what he wants to hear for the sake of, you know, advancing their own careers. I mean, you get that a lot anyway with any presidential administration, but at least in the past, they've been surrounded with people who understand that there have to be at least some kind of limits. They're not doing that. Kristi Noem, I mean, these are some individuals that, I mean, I'm almost going into a vapor lock just thinking about just how cruel the some of these decisions have been coming out of the White House lately. And then the most atrocious decision of all with going to war with Iran. When we were on the doing the podcast Wednesday evening, I mean, Iran is doing to the U.S. what they've done to every empire that's ever tried to overtake them. They just outlast them, wear them down to the point where they can't continue anymore. And we're seeing that right now. If you look at just the condition of the Abraham Lincoln, that tells the tale right there.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I want to ask your guy there, was he for us going to Iran or not?
Oh, I'm completely against going to Iran. I served 6 years in the Navy, twice deployed to the Middle East. I'm going to tell you right now, just from, I'm informed by that perspective alone, that we shouldn't have done this. Iran posed no threat to us.
No.
It's been determined time and again that they were not on the cusp of gaining a nuclear weapon. That's been an ongoing talking point for how many years? They're always 3 weeks away from developing a nuclear weapon. 10 years later, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's the talking point again. And obviously,
Trump
it's the same
plan.
See what?
Trump didn't have a plan.
Well, there's that too.
It wasn't talked to the Congress. It wasn't talked to our allies. I mean, he just goes and does it. Like he tore down the White House.
Well, I know. Like with Iran, that was actually very much at the behest of the Israeli government.
Well, yeah, but are we Israel?
Oh, no, we're not.
Americans. We do what Americans want to do, not what Israel wants to do.
Oh, I know. Their government's every bit as corrupt as ours, and I just don't understand why we are so concerned with currying favor with a corrupt government. If we don't tolerate this from any other power in the world, I just don't understand how we then say, oh, this country, their government's good. We'll trust them, you know, implicitly.
Well, Trump is buddies with dictators.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
And with our allies, he's done, you know, made them mad, you know. I watched a thing on YouTube last night, how if Russia and China got together and attacked us, you know, could we win that war?
And they won't, just because no one wants the threat of nuclear exchange. That was one of the reasons why a lot of, like, anti-war people that I've been following over the years, they wanted Hillary, the other way around, they wanted Trump over Hillary because she was all for a more aggressive military approach to Syria.
Russia, yeah.
And Bashir was, you know, allies with Putin. And the concern was at that time that this would move us much closer to the potential, you know, risk of nuclear exchange with Russia, which no one wants.
Well, that's special. I watched it, broke it down by categories, you know, tanks, men, planes, you know, submarines and stuff. And there's a couple areas where we're just a little bit ahead.
Hey.
But there's so many areas that we weren't. And now they know that we don't have our interceptors.
Well, we're tearing through all our munitions with this, and it's expensive.
It's a time for them to attack.
I don't know if they will, but don't be surprised if we see some more saber rattling in the future.
Hey, yeah. Caller, who are you voting for governor? 59 days out.
I'm gonna vote for Amy Acton. I really wonder whether she's gonna win. She's just not a forceful enough person, I don't think. But
what?
I think she is qualified, and I think she would do us a good job. She's now starting to run some new ads that kind of attacking Ramaswamy.
How do you feel about her not willing to debate?
I don't know. I haven't seen either one of them debate, so if I had seen either one of them do a debate, you know, then I might have a opinion on that.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're all the way in on Amy Acton. What about Mr. Kissick here for governor?
Who?
Don Kissick, our guest here in the studio.
The guy I just talked to?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I like some of the things he says, but then there's some of the things I don't like, too. And it's been over history here lately that you can't trust a Republican.
I'm not a Republican.
And they got no
third
signs.
Party.
Don's a libertarian.
Currently in Congress or a Senate or anything?
No, libertarian.
No, I do not hold elected office right now.
Okay.
The closest thing to elected office I've had, you know, in my time has been when I was elected chair of the Libertarian Party of Ohio Central Committee.
Well, you know, I'll have to consider you, too.
Well, there you go.
But, you know, Republicans don't have no spine, and they ain't going to get my vote.
There's a lot of corruption going on with the Ohio Republican Party, no doubt about it.
Well, not just Ohio.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, as far as focusing on, you know, this race in particular, that's where I'm focusing my outlook.
Caller, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And remember, if you get in, hang with me there. We'll eventually get to you. I'm guessing that was not the head of the Republican caucus in Marion here. I don't think that's who that was. But, okay, an Amy Acton voter sounds like, but not totally sold. And that's what I keep hearing in this gubernatorial race. Honestly, for the Senate race, when I talk to people, they go, well, you know, I'm in on Sherrod or I'm in on Husted, but the governor's race is a different type of a thing for people.
It's a wild toss-up, no doubt about it. I mean, we always wonder when we're going to get to an election like this, but I think after the last three presidential elections, we can't be surprised. Each time, I mean, was Trump versus Clinton, Trump versus Biden, Trump versus Harris. I mean, there were a lot of people who did not like either candidate, but trying to convince people to look at third party candidates, it's a challenge. But I think we're starting to reach a tipping point right now. Enough people are getting so fed up with being spoon fed unpalatable candidates. Now that we're seeing in the governor's race this year, I think we're going to see a breakthrough on that.
Libertarian candidate for governor Don Kissick is the guest. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Certainly, go ahead.
Well, you know, both the Democrats and the Republicans have worn out their welcome, and the door is opening ever wider for independent candidates. And if the Republicans and Democrats want to maintain control of the two-party system, they better get their act together, because all of the beaten down, tax-paying citizens are getting tired of it. The natives are getting restless, and we need to get the good old boy network, get rid of them.
How are you feeling about this governor's race? Are you leaning one way or another, or possibly toward Mr. Kissick here?
I haven't done enough research to warrant saying one way or the other. The biggest thing is we've got to limit campaigning. Campaigning should only maybe be 6 weeks before an election. Everybody is, it's like smear the queer. Everybody has this campaign, the slur of this candidate, the slur of that candidate, all of the mudslinging, et cetera, et cetera. If they would put more effort and time getting in to the areas that they need to talk with instead of depending upon the crap that they're slinging in television advertising, I think it would be better times and money spent. Plus, I think they should have limits on how much you can spend on a campaign.
Don, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm torn on that. I mean, I understand where you're coming from completely, but as soon as you start, you know, putting restrictions on, well, I mean, on an issue of freedom of speech like this, it's going to create a bad precedent. Then
campaigning is not an issue of free speech. Campaigning is something that needs to be controlled some way, somehow. The FCC controls how much and what you can say over the airwaves. And with streaming, they're much more lax. You can probably show that Amy Acton had relations with a donkey, you know, and not catch any flack from that. It's insanity. It's insanity. If you were to be elected as governor, what would you do about the real estate tax? The taxes that are supposedly supporting the school systems.
Well, the property tax. I'm all for ending property taxes. As governor, my My thought is to really, for the most part, stay out of it for the time being because you have the Axe Ohio tax petition drive. I believe it's going to be successful. I believe it's going to, you know, they're going to get their, I believe they will accomplish their mission. The only thing I could do as governor would be to interfere, either intentionally or unintentionally, with that. And I would rather just sit back, trust the grassroots effort to make that happen. I honestly believe they will. That's why I'm hypercritical of Vivek Ramaswamy with what he's been saying with taxes in recent weeks. He never really talked about it. He's always tried to promote himself as a lower taxes guy, but the fact that he went first to income tax, and then he's been starting to talk a little bit about, you know, I want to reduce property taxes and all that. I mean, he's kind of waffling and whatnot on the whole issue of taxation. Right now, income taxes, they've been steadily decreasing in recent years, but yet somehow our revenues are still going up. We don't have a revenue generation problem. We have a spending problem in Ohio. But yeah, I see.
Well, we have an industry. We need manufacturing here. We're losing hundreds of skilled laborers every day. The baby boomers are coming to an end, and I don't really see much of a real hard-hitting effort to get parents to get their kids into trade school, go out to Tri Rivers, learn these technologies so that when they graduate from high school, they can walk right into a good-paying job.
No, I agree there. I agree. I believe there's... Has there been too much emphasis on getting a, you know, a college degree? You know, I don't doubt that. I'm not going to sit here and then say, like Mr. Ramaswamy did, you know, I'm going to target these schools for closing. If you notice, 3 out of the 4 schools he wanted to close are in Eastern Ohio, which doesn't have a large number of them anyway. So I don't understand why he wants to, you know, turn Eastern Ohio into a higher education desert. But, I mean, a lot of that is just leave it up to personal choice, though. I have no problem encouraging entry into the skilled trades. I think it's a good thing, like, and for all the reasons you just laid out. But do we turn that into a public policy where we try and steer, use taxpayer money to steer them toward those? The problem is now you open the door to corruption because all someone has to do is set up a fly-by-night, you know, career training center, if you will, and lure people in and rip them off. That always happens. Whenever you say, I want to use taxpayer money to do this particular action, well, you've got grifters, you know, that step up for that.
With schemers like that, they are not properly vetted.
No, I agree. But
that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And what do you think about redistricting for state reps?
I want to put a stop to the gerrymandering, and as governor, I would have a seat at that table the next redistricting effort, and I want to, and there's like a great example up in the far northwest where Representative Josh Williams is. I can't remember the district number, but if you look at the map, it looks like a distorted butterfly.
Insane. We already have maps.
Yeah.
We have counties.
Yes, I agree.
They should have a representative from each county, and that vote is weighted upon the population of that county instead of trying to include this little nook and cranny to make sure that there's X number of voters for this county, etc. I know there's enough people that are geniuses in calculus to be able to input that, because right now, if you've got 2 or 3 counties that you're the rep for, that's a hell of a lot of territory to have to cover. Each county should have its own representative.
Thank you, caller.
I know that was tried.
Thank you to a better tomorrow.
Yeah, that's been tried before. I know that with the Senate, I believe it was, they tried to make it based on, you know, the counties. They tried to group the counties together and determine Senate representation, Ohio Senate representation based on that. Evidently, there was a lawsuit and. That suit was successful. They said that the Ohio Senate has to be apportioned based on population, not based on, you know, county groupings. So, I mean, I would definitely try and keep, like, that would be my vision for the next redistricting. Try and keep entire counties together as much as possible. This is why we need more libertarians elected, you know, in elected offices at the state level. We've got a number of General Assembly candidates running on the Libertarian ticket, And we need to get that would give them a better seat at the table too, because we want smarter district. We want to end gerrymandering.
Don Kissick, the Libertarian candidate for governor, is with us this morning. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Remember, if you call in, we're going to try to get to you, but just hang on the line till we can get to the call. 740-383-9944. All right. President Trump. Wait a second here. Let's see what's going on. Wait. Well, okay. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know, the reason that it was found unconstitutional was because it was part of legislation that a legislation could have been overturned to make it legal. And as the legislature passed that legislation, that each county will have its own representative in the state house.
There we go. Thank you. All right, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. President Trump on Monday lashed out at communities that are protesting data centers, suggesting that residents who do not go along with the artificial intelligence revolution must prefer to be backwards and poor. The only reason that communities throughout the USA should not want data centers is if they want to end up being backwards and poor, Mr. Trump posted on Truth Social. If they want to be successful and rich with far lower taxes, the jobs will be all over the place. Let data reign.
Well, President Trump is wrong. I'm sorry. And I know there's even been pushback within libertarian circles because there's an issue of property rights and whatnot. If they've acquired this land, they've done it, you know, through proper, you know, market-based channels, and they've paid fair market value for the property. They should be able to do what they want. I'm just repeating the feedback I've gotten. That's not my stance. I am very anti data center because they feed into a much larger issue with the ever growing surveillance state. The data center and flock camera issues, they're simultaneously separate issues, but they go together hand in hand. And as long as there's going to be efforts, especially by government at any level, to try and collect more information about us, these things are more of a threat than a benefit to society.
All right. Issue three. Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy, both on the same side of this. This would make having voter ID part of the Ohio Constitution. Now, it is already law, but it would make it part of the Constitution. Both of the other gubernatorial candidates on the ballot are for this. What about you, Don?
I'm against it. It's all, like I said, it's already in law. I mean, as long as it's in the Ohio Revised Code, making it constitutional isn't necessary. My concern, I mean, some people say, well, what's the difference between putting in the Constitution or just having it in the ORC? The thing is, when you add anything to the Constitution like this, then any law related to it now becomes constitutional. That's where my concern is, what kind of unintended consequences do we open the door for? I have no problem saying you have to, identify who you are before you get to get a ballot. That's not a problem. But for some reason, this idea that we have to put it in the Constitution as opposed to just leaving it in the ORC, it's on the books. Why mess with a good thing?
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I just want to say I do love my city. That's not said, with malice or something. I do love my city. And as much as I hate to say this, I do agree with what all Terry said.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm glad you did.
Yep.
Thank you for calling. All right, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have a question here, Don Kissick, Libertarian candidate for governor. We've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast today. And remember, we'll try to get to you. Hang on the line with us, 740-383-9944. A lot of people are concerned this fall that something is going to go on election day that we don't want to go on, that there are going to be ICE at the polling places. I've heard that. There are going to be troops at the polling places. There are going to be efforts to deter and suppress people's ballots. What do you think?
I don't want to advance any conspiracy theories on that. I wouldn't put it past Trump, but I mean, ICE is, if there's any culprits that he might go to, I can see it being ICE. The willy-nilly manner in which they have been hiring people into these law enforcement positions at the federal level, no less. I mean, we are starting to see just how unqualified a lot of these people are. They've received no training on de-escalation. They have no grasp of constitutional constraints on policing action, whether you're talking about federal, state, or local law enforcement. The absolute disregard of everyday basic constitutional rights has been appalling. On that basis alone, that criteria alone, I could see there being some activity. It'll probably be isolated, most likely. They won't be able to put enough people in every polling location to have an impact, but enough to generate headlines. As far as the troops, the military, as a veteran myself, I just don't see anyone in, you know, any of the four branches of the military saying, oh, yes, this seems like a very good use of my time and, you know, my training when I'm supposed to be defending America, not being used as a tool to interfere with the voting process.
What about the ballot campaign to end qualified immunity for law enforcement?
I fully support that. I just talked about, you know, what are the potential abuses with policing powers. Any qualified immunity would necessarily end a lot of concerns right now. I mean, I think the death of George Floyd 6 years ago, you know, really spoke to that. I mean, I know there's a lot of opinions on that particular death, but let's face it, you kneel on a human being's neck for 9.5 minutes. I don't care if you're talking about someone with a history of drug use or if you're talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, who's, you know, probably one of the healthiest people on earth. It doesn't matter what their health level is. You kneel on their neck for over 9 minutes, they're going to die. And you don't have to have special police training to understand that. That's basic common sense. The fact that, you know, there's an open door, it seems like, to violate people's rights even during a mundane traffic stop. The best way to end that is with accountability, and qualified immunity shields too many people from that. I mean, it's not just even police work. There's immunity for, you know, prosecutorial misconduct, and the list goes on.
How do you feel about Representative Max Miller? His former wife, Emily Moreno, who is the daughter of Bernie Moreno, senator here in Ohio, has accused him of abusing her and their toddler daughter. Miller has denied those claims and said that Ms. Moreno, the daughter of Senator Bernie Moreno, also an Ohio Republican, is mentally unstable, accusing her of stalking and lying about him and endangering their daughter. And Senator Moreno, I believe, has called his former son-in-law unfit for public office. So here we are. And but he's not leaving.
I mean, I see that, and that's the thing that makes me lean, against, you know, Max Miller, the fact that a fellow Republican, I mean, and let's face it, these political parties are very tight-knit groups. Well, excuse me, they don't like to call one another out if they don't have to, unless it's been pre-approved by the compliance offices for the respective parties. The fact that he didn't hesitate to say that this man is unfit to represent the people anyway, that carries weight. Even though I am not a Bernie Moreno fan, I ran against him 2 years ago. But for him to speak up like that, I think that should carry a lot more weight than people are allowing it to. I would like to see Max Miller, you know, step down. I think that's the right thing to do. But hopefully the voters will do that for him if he won't do it himself. You know, that's a great opportunity for accountability right there.
Do you think he'll win?
I haven't seen any recent polling numbers. Last I heard that his lead, you know, in polling was actually starting to shrink. Hopefully it goes away completely, but I don't know, we will see. He's in a very solidly Republican area, but as distasteful, I mean, I hate to keep using that word, but as distasteful as the accusations are against him, and the fact that, again, that someone with Bernie Moreno's clout is saying he needs to leave public office, hopefully the people will listen.
J.D. Vance, our vice president and former senator here from Ohio, has said recently that some AI uses have spiritual dark energy. What do you make of our vice president and former senator from Ohio?
Spiritual dark energy. That's a new one on me. I don't know. I don't know where he's getting these ideas from. I mean, I have my thoughts on a lot of things in terms of spirituality and religion. I mentioned before I'm a non-denominational Christian, but I'm going to try and keep those separate from any issue, talks about public policy, because I think it's if nothing else, you know, as it says right there in the Bible, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. That's why I'd like to see government do a lot less than it does, because it seems like it's constantly interfering with things that various, you know, religious institutions should be taking care of.
What do you make of J.D., our former senator and the vice president, on the whole?
Another individual that's a mixed bag. Where I lost any respect for him, though, is just the fact that he went from being such a harsh critic of Trump to just practically writing love songs about the guy of late, since he was asked to be, you know, the running mate. He's obviously just, he can't be trusted. He'll say whatever it takes to stay popular and stay in office.
You came to Ohio in what year?
2007.
2007.
Yes.
Okay, you have seen Governor Strickland, you have seen Governor Kasich, and you have seen Governor DeWine. Who's the best of the three?
Wow, that's, you know, which turd is the best in the crap parade? That's what you're kind of asking me right now. I mean, if nothing else, I would just lean towards Strickland because he was a one-term governor, and he didn't do as much harm as he could have. Between DeWine's handling of the pandemic, John Kasich being at, you know, helping to engineer the first energy scandal, the way he backstabbed the Tea Party with Medicaid expansion. I mean, Strickland he's just a progressive liberal. I mean, that's really the worst thing I can say about him. He's a progressive liberal. I want less government, but I want it in all areas. None of these guys have done a particularly good job of that. They've all, you know, increased spending. They've all looked for ways to expand government power in Ohio. I want to try and undo all of it. I don't care which party they came from.
Best president in your lifetime?
Best president in my lifetime. That's an interesting one. I would have to probably go with Reagan. He made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of decisions that I strongly disagree with that are still impacting us today. But at least on foreign policy, he really made sure that the Soviet Union collapsed. I mean, the final straw was Operation Desert Storm, where I served, which was part of my service. But in terms of his outlook on taxation, the problem was he made too many compromises with Democrats on spending, especially domestic spending. We could have been a lot better off if he hadn't done that. But I think he could have gotten what he wanted done in terms of military action and foreign policy, even without making all those compromises with a Democratic-controlled Congress. But I don't know. He made some choices. One of the things I really didn't like was the way he kind of drew back on state sovereignty. He signed legislation authorizing the Department of Transportation to withhold highway funds for any state that didn't set the drinking age at 21. Now, I think drinking's not a good thing. If you have a drinking problem, please find help. You know, quit. But that's not for the government to strong-arm people one direction or the other. And using government funding as a way to strong-arm states into whatever policy, you know, hold whatever policies you want them to have, it set a bad precedent, and we're seeing that today.
Don Kasich, Libertarian candidate for governor, with us for about 10 more minutes this morning. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you call in, hang with me on the line for a second, and we'll try to get to your call. Matt, question for Don? I know you love when I do that.
Yeah, honestly, I never have questions. I never thinking of questions.
You think of observations, perhaps?
You have an observation, yeah. Matt. Do you have an observation of what's went on here this morning?
I mean, he certainly seems to have a lot to say about it. If you ask him about any of the problems, I mean, he'll give you an opinion on it. I mean, I think that's good. I think that that he doesn't do a lot of the typical politician, like, dancing around the question kind of answers.
It gets me in trouble sometimes, depending on who I'm talking to, but I'd rather tell you straight up where I stand on things than just give you just enough where, like, okay, I think I know where he leans, but he's not directly irritating me with his answer. At some point, we got to get irritated a little bit. That's one of the problems with politics anymore. Everyone's trying to figure out what's the softest answer to give and give themselves enough wiggle room. That way, if it's suddenly no longer politically expedient to go after a particular policy point, then, oh, well, I didn't really fully commit to this. It's such a disingenuous way to campaign. If someone has to just take the lead and start to break that mold. If it's got to be me, then so be it. Hopefully, I'm not the only one who does that, because we need people who are willing to actually say what they really think. Can you overemphasize certain issues? Sure. But that becomes my responsibility then to say, let's get back to what are the most important issues, instead of, you know, wading too far into the weeds of, you know, something like, say, transgender athletes, you know, in sports, or, you know, even ICE activity. I mean, I think, are these important issues to the people who are directly impacted? Yes. But is that really what people are the most focused on? These are just wedge issues, for the most part, to get people angry and then forgetting what's actually important.
Why do you think the wedge issues take the forefront?
Because they're the most emotionally driven, ultimately. That is why people will go to them. And I experienced this. This isn't the first time I've run for office. And anytime I see someone saying, maybe I could vote for this third party candidate, then you see the gears turning in their head, and then they go for what's something that's very peripheral, but I can then seize upon to say, oh, I'm not going to give you my consideration now because you are in favor or opposed to this, you know, issue all way off to the side.
Number one wedge issue in this campaign is?
Number one wedge issue right now, probably immigration. That's the one that keeps coming up most frequently. I'm of the firm belief that immigration is a net positive for society. Should people be expected to enter legally? Yes. It's a legitimate function of government to have stable borders and at least make sure we know who is coming in and going out at the time that they're coming and going. But if entry is so restrictive that people cannot do it legally, where they're trying to escape, you know, terrible conditions where they live, they're going to find a way, because it's either get caught by ICE or, you know, live at the hands of a brutal dictator, or worse, one of the drug cartels down in Latin America.
Go ahead, caller.
I've heard him say that he's against the data centers, and I'm against them too, but I realize that they are something that we're going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard his feelings on, I mean, do we just do away with them, or do we find a better way to do it?
Well, for me, I'm saying if elected, I will place an immediate moratorium on any new construction. And that is within the power of the Office of Governor, because that's where all the permitting, you know, goes through on construction of this scale. The thing is, we're looking at these big monolithic operations that only have one function to them and one alone. And so what's going to happen then, once the technology they utilize becomes obsolete, which will happen in a few years. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And once the digital technology within them is just now a part of the past, what happens to these massive structures? Will they be refurbished? Will they be repurposed? Or are they going to, the biggest concern is, will they be abandoned and then just left to rot in an area?
Of course they will. That's what will happen.
Oh, I know. I mean, most likely, but I'm always looking for possibilities.
And then it'll become a super fund, and then they make money off of,
yep.
It's kind of like the heroin is Marion's economy type of thing. You know, it's just a continuous path of revenue.
Yep. No, I can see that. I'm not doubting you one bit on that. It's just, we can stem the tide. There's already 226 of them in operation right now in Ohio. Do we need any more? We have the fourth most of any state in the country. I mean, for crying out loud, you have wide open, you know, unlivable land in areas like Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, but they're digging up, you know, acres upon acres of very usable farmland in the middle of the American breadbasket to build these.
To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to, I mean, the data centers eat up energy because they have to be kept cool. So, and I'm not, you know, contradicting you, but they build tons of them in Texas. They build them in, that doesn't make sense to me to build them in a hot climate, and then you have to work even harder to, but, so I guess my original question is like, I think there's a need, or we can't just shun the technology.
Right.
I'm one of these people that, you know, I think Americans have the ability, and God gave us the, you know, the senses and the brains to do that. We can come up with better ways to do it.
No, I agree. But the thing is, right now there's this huge trend toward building them. Everyone's trying to get to this, in this race to the top, to see who can get on top of, you know, the whole AI wave. But like I was just saying, when a lot of the technology currently in use now is rendered obsolete, what happens to all of this? It's turning into a massive bubble, just like with the housing bubble from 17, 18 years ago. This is another bubble that's expanding, and when it bursts, what's going to happen then?
Well, and then just like with the housing bubble, you have a transfer of wealth.
Yep. No, I agree.
All right. Hey, we thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, Don's going to be with us for about four more minutes here, 740-383-9944. If you've been thinking about calling in, we'll make it quick, but we'll try to get it in, 740-383-9944. Don, if people are interested in your campaign, how can they find you?
The easiest way is through the website, donkissick.com. And for anyone who's not sure how to spell my name, K-I-S-S-I-C-K. It's spelled just like it sounds and vice versa. I'm on social media. I'm on the four big platforms. It's Don Kissick Liberty if you're on Facebook. Just simply Don Kissick if you're on Instagram. I don't get on TikTok as much, but I know it, I believe it's Don.Kissick there. Just search for Don Kissick for Governor, and you'll find me in the search. And then, of course, X, it is Don C. Kissick.
How can you win this election in the next 59 days?
With a lot of ground support, obviously, and we're getting some more donations in. That is picking up steam, although we're still pulling a comedic fraction of what my opponents are pulling in. But it's enough to enable. We're gonna start doing ads on streaming services, and that'll at least improve our visibility. In fact, the big thing is, you know, that will definitely, you know, get the attention of younger voters because they're doing more streaming than traditional television. If anyone out there is listening to this, you know, and if you're considering voting for me, if you're on the younger side, make sure you register to vote. That's going to be a big one. I know my message and the way I approach public policy is going to appeal more toward, you know, the older Gen Alpha, Gen Z, and, you know, younger millennial voters. But if you don't register to vote, if you don't follow through and actually show up to the polls, it's meaningless. I want to just get government out of your life. You should be able to live your life as your most authentic self, raise your family as you see fit, and as long as you are not doing harm to anyone else or defrauding anyone, you should run your business. It needs to be easier to open a small business in Ohio than it is.
One word to describe Vivek Ramaswamy.
Grifter. That's the best one.
One word to describe Amy Acton.
Hyphenated word, empty suit.
Why are you running for governor?
Because people need a third choice. We've had unpalatable options rammed down our throats for too many elections. We need someone who's coming in from truly outside the system. Ramaswamy can claim he is, but the thing is, he's been rubbing elbows with tech bros and all the big shakers for so many years. I mean, he can portray himself as an outsider, but you don't get the kind of, you know, endorsement action that he's had unless you've been greasing some palms over the years.
And I believe the deadline to register is at October the
6th, I believe.
5th. October the 5th? October the 5th. So there you go. Don Kissick, Libertarian candidate for governor. Don, thank you for making the trip over this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Scott.
And I do want to let people know the video program we did the other night with Mary Ellen and Matt and myself and Don will be available later today on YouTube. So you can get that free of charge. Just search Don Kissick, Scott Spears, WGH, and it should come up. It's a 90-minute program you won't want to miss. Don, thanks for coming. Best of luck. Hopefully we'll have you back very soon.
Thank you. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Thank you. We're going to take a break and come back, Matt and I, with more programming. Stay tuned.
Later on.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well,